All right, it's time again for the interstitial, that podcast that comes between the series that I often do. At this point in history, we're continuing this debate in the world about AI, good or bad. And I thought I would dump some ideas out of my head on this topic. So I called this podcast AI Digital Freedom or Slavery. I'm not really into the good and bad debate because I think with AI, that's a little bit overly simplistic. I like the concept of taking an interesting angle on predictions looking forward into the future. So here's a story. In my desk at home, I have at least a dozen empty notebooks now. Many of them have artistic covers or they're handmade. Some of them have special paper. Some of them I write on every now and then, just something important or something that I want to save. However, I mix those with 10 beautiful fountain pens in a wooden case. And all of these fountain pens I made by hand over the last handful of years because there was a time when I really loved the feel of writing with a fountain pen on these pieces of paper in these notebooks. Now, I find I rarely ever put pen to paper anymore because it's just not an efficient way to capture my thoughts. And what I mean by that is it's not portable across my devices. It's kind of bulky to carry the notebooks in my bag. It requires me to have a pen where the ink is flowing at any point in time, which is not always that easy in fountain pens. So my digital tools, although they lack the soul of rustic paper and the feel of the fountain pens that I've made and that I'm proud of, the technology is easy to work with. It's convenient. It's helpful. You know, my devices call to me when I want to work, and even more so now that they literally talk to me with an intelligence that surpasses my own on most topics. In other words, I just keep getting sucked further and further into using the technology, which probably isn't a surprise to a lot of you. There's a side of me that loves the fountain pens and loves the notebooks and love the feel of that. It's difficult now that I feel like I've been pulled down the technology rabbit hole without any balance. So I'm struck by this thought that AI is not just, you know, freeing me to ideate, be creative, work faster, solve interesting problems, helps me do research, allows me to ask it questions and see the interesting opinions that the large language models might have. It's also kind of enslaving me to that partnership. Now, I don't think the world ever is probably going to go back to a time when we don't work with digital intelligences. I mean, they help us with so many things through life already. When I say us, sure, I mean a number of the earlier adopters, but you know, rapidly people will, one way or the other, for one reason or for the other, will come into contact with these AI engines in some form on their devices or, you know, inside of the applications that they use, and they will fall in love with the capability that these intelligences give them. People will fall in love with interacting with science derived from thousands and thousands of stores of knowledge a thousand ways every day. It's just what's going to happen. And so it's a matter of time. And I think those of us that are deep into using AI engines, you know, we already see this, we feel it. We're all being sucked down this rabbit hole. And there are still some people that they haven't gotten there yet, but they will. So why, when I do have this love for the antique, older side of life, right, the fountain pens and the old handmade paper, when I love those things, why is it that I won't go back? Why is it that I say I don't think most people will ever go back? Well, I mean, the reason really is centered around the fact that this comment of knowledge is power and capabilities count. Like, there are positive outcomes from growing your capabilities. Now, that statement, knowledge is power, I first heard that statement at my first job. There was an older guy who was training me, and he was explaining to me why I needed to learn as much as possible as fast as I possibly could. And he made it clear that those who read more, study more, learn faster, usually make more money and are more valuable in this world. They win. So his point, knowledge is power. He hands me 3 or 4 books and says, hey, you need to read these books. I distinctly remember in my early days reading those those books that mentors or people older than me gave to me, and trying to suck as much knowledge out of those books as I could. And that moment in time always is in my mind, of that comment about knowledge is power. And that the way that I got the knowledge and the way that I got the power was through reading the books. Now, the spirit of that statement was always that human knowledge was power. The more we put into our minds, the further we would go into life. In other words, there was no assumption that we would have outboard knowledge, right? That we would have knowledge in devices, right? Or knowledge in applications that in some cases would easily surpass our own. It was like, no, the knowledge of power was that putting the knowledge into our mind, and that the more we could put in there, the happier we possibly could be. Now, if you're still debating about the AI wave being kind of a once in a generation step forward, and you know, then you might disagree that knowledge is power. You know, you might say, yeah, there's all kinds of other things that are really important, and we have enough knowledge, and I don't even trust the knowledge of the AI wave. But I would also say you're somebody that has not learned to use the AI tools in your day to day, and you probably aren't aware of some of the power that is out today that we've already been given. And so it's a perspective thing, right? Those that are down this AI rabbit hole have a much different perspective than those who don't. And I'm not saying better or worse. I'm just saying it's a complete different perspective on the world. And artificial intelligence is machine-delivered power being handed to us at astounding speeds. I mean, every single week we're getting more power. It's crazy. I've never seen anything like this as far as the growth level of power. We're getting tools that we can collaborate with, we can create, consult, automate. And in the end, all these tools amplify our capabilities in ways that to me still seem magical. And I am a technology person. So that's what we've got. I want to make sure that you understand that the distinction of the knowledge is power. And when we first all started hearing that, all we assumed was just the knowledge that was in our minds. That's different now. I mean, now we can augment our minds with outboard intelligence, and that outboard intelligence is getting much more important. So now, if you want knowledge is power, you can rent some of that knowledge. You can collaborate, and you can integrate a high amount of that knowledge into your knowledge to create hybrid knowledge. Now, these AI tools are in some ways setting us free, right? I mean, free to be more creative and to make things or write things or, you know, just create things we've never had the ability to do before. They're freeing us to be more innovative. Why? Because they can take away hours of some mundane tasks, and they can free up our time to either use our minds or collaborate with AI tools to be more innovative. And that completing tasks in shorter amount of time and even in some cases higher quality than what we've created in the past, that's no joke. You know, I mean, we're seeing all kinds of studies coming out now about, you know, what the percentage of mundane tasks are we each do each day, and how much AI has the potential to take time out of our day or to save us time. And when you save us time, right, you create some freedom for us, right? Freedom for our minds to explore instead of doing those mundane tasks. You know, free for us to connect with other human beings at a better level than what we might have been able to do before because we were so distracted doing those mundane tasks. A huge amount of freedom that we get when we can co-work with an AI that just helps us to be able to accomplish what we want to accomplish. Now, I can only imagine the freedom that AI tools are going to be bringing in coming years if when I look at the state of improvement of AI tools. You know, we may be looking at a spiraling rate of freedom that AI tools can give us simply by taking over things that have sucked up our time and freeing us to be able to go focus on whatever else we want to focus on or whatever else we find valuable to focus on. Or this is freedom that we think we're getting just a gateway drug to digital slavery. I like to look at things from all angles, geometric thinking. So it's possible the power that we are getting with all these AI tools just will eventually enslave us more to the capabilities that they will give us. What happens when we don't have the AI tools to use, and then we notice that we're much weaker at what we do without their help? I mean, today I can't do math by hand anymore. I am a slave to a calculator. I have no interest in doing math, especially if it's complex, without a calculator or without a spreadsheet. So I'm already enslaved to that. I'm enslaved to my mobile device to do things I'd never been able to do before mobile devices were developed. I'm enslaved to Google because when I need an answer to something, something, a lot of times Google or now the Perplexity AI, right? Have an ability to answer that question really easily, much easier than me having to go to the library and try to figure it out. So will AI become hundreds of times more addictive since it's going to be hundreds of times more powerful than a calculator? It's just an interesting thought. I mean, maybe in our future we become dependent, like completely addicted to the ambient intelligence that's all around us. I mean, that it's helping us to create lives in the most powerful and convenient ways that we can live them. I mean, most of society is already completely reliant on vehicles to get somewhere, grocery stores to buy the food that they eat, or restaurants, you know, online food providers to bring them things to eat, a healthcare system to repair our bodies when we break down. I mean, if you really step back and think about it, we already are pretty addicted to modern ways of doing things in our life. And so I don't think it's a crazy thought to just think about, well, what is the addiction level of something like AI? I mean, whenever we invent something powerful and convenient, it becomes central to our lives. And I think we don't have to look any further than look down at your mobile device, because most people are completely addicted to that mobile device, which is why they don't like it being away from their person. And, you know, we spend way too many hours actually looking at that screen. I mean, if AI does enslave us, then the next question is, all right, so what will be the consequences of that? I mean, does that also mean that it would destroy us? I mean, not through a consciousness or aggressive behavior, not deciding that the human race doesn't want to exist or doesn't need to exist anymore, like the movies portray in many cases, but more because we turn over too much of our agency to artificial intelligence, and then we slowly lose our own capabilities because we are just too dependent, too addicted to everything that AI can do for us. I think that's a much more likely outcome if you want to paint the dark picture that, you know, AI ruins the human race. It might ruin us because of the addiction to it. I mean, if you think about that and you play that out, vast swaths of humanity could become simpletons who grew up coddled by ambient intelligence floating all around them since the day that they were born. I mean, human plus an AI is valuable. Human without the AI tools, hardly able to function. I mean, is that where we get to? I mean, there are days that I debate that we might already be seeing the seeds of that planted and happening in society. So again, because I like geometric thinking, I like to allow my mind to flow down that dark side of maybe that is the way that AI becomes destructive to us, is just the over addiction to it. So what will it be? Will it be amazing freedom that unchains us, augments all of our capabilities? Will that create joy and meaning like the world has never seen, right? Or will it be the opposite, right? Slavery to a machine that grinds us down even further than some people feel today, ground down. Worse yet, is AI just the final straw in a digital overdose that destroys the heart and soul of millions of people? Because, like I said, we already have quite a bit of addiction to technology. Is this just the last nail in the coffin? Now, I trust humanity to find our way, right? We have for thousands of years, and that to me is proof positive that we have the ability to learn and grow. Even when we stumble with addictions, right? Even when we stumble with making mistakes, we have the capability of great problem solving, whether through our science, our philosophies, our learnings, or just our will to survive. So because of that, because I trust humanity to find our way, then I have to tell you, I have a more optimistic view on whether we get freedom or whether we get slavery. So let me give you five or so reasons why I think we'll see more freedom than slavery. In the past, creative people who lack the technical skills to create art or music, you know, or even a really nice PowerPoint, have the ability to flourish by partnering with AI. I think this ability to amplify our creativity, to amplify our innovation by co-working with AI is extremely exciting. And I think this frees millions and millions of people that have a creative bent, just didn't have the technical skills to do something, to actually be able to do that thing. And again, the easy ones to look at are creating graphics or writing music, right? That will have millions and millions of people that can do amazing things in those two fields without having to have the technical skills to actually create the outcome. Now, does this lower the value of musicians or artists today? today? And I would argue no. You know, in history, we haven't seen that allowing millions and millions of people to do something lowers the value of the experts at that thing. In some ways, it may amplify those experts. It may create hybrid experts that can do things by hand or do things electronically. All right, my second thing. Students now have a free tutor that knows every single subject, that can work with them 24/7, that in most cases they don't even have to pay for, which is going to allow students to learn faster and to build closer relationships with AI engines in order to help them learn. Now, I know that there are people that say, well, that's cheating. If you don't have the knowledge just inside of the human brain, it doesn't count. Having hybrid knowledge where you're combining your knowledge with the machine is cheating. I don't believe that. I believe a much better way to look at an AI model is that it is just a free tutor that can help young people to be able to learn much faster, much better. And I think in some ways it's very democratic, because right now, being able to hire a tutor depends a little bit on how much money your parents make. In this case, these tutors would be available to really anyone. And so I believe that's going to free people to be able to educate at a much faster rate. And I just don't find anything wrong with that. All right, the third reason that I'm optimistic. Workers are capturing back hours in their day by using AI tools to speed up work, automate processes, and fully replace tasks that were mundane. All right, so it's so hard to measure this. We do hear lots of statistics about this happening today already. Obviously, as we get better and better AI models and automation, it's going to happen more and more. I think the better way is to work backwards from the what percentage of our day is doing mundane tasks, and how can we get rid of doing those mundane tasks? So, that's something I'm excited about. Is it differs for every person. Some people do very few mundane tasks. I actually have to say I'm one of them. But there are a lot of people that spend 80% of their day doing what would be considered highly repetitive mundane tasks. And AI will be able to free people from that should they choose, should organizations choose. And so I'm optimistic about that. All right. The fourth, the quality of some deliverables in the workspace is going to go up. When employees are co-working with AI partners to complete tasks, they're literally going to mix their brains with a synthetic brain and come out with an accretive transaction. In other words, 1 + 1 = 3. And so I'm excited about the co-working with AI is going to be able to up the quality of what people are delivering. You know, that's something that, again, extremely difficult to measure, but I think we're already seeing it, and we're just at the very beginning of that seed being planted. I think we go forward 10 years, it's going to be very obvious how much co-working with AI has improved the quality of ideation, the quality of work product itself. So not just automating away all of that work, but just allowing the hybrid intelligence of the combination of the organic brain and the synthetic brain, again, coming to that accretive outcome of, all right, the human plus the machine, 1 + 1 = 3. All right, and then fifth, AI tools can consume massive amounts of information to learn from that no human would ever be capable of. And that's something I think people forget, is when we talk about that you can do machine learning or you can do deep learning with an AI model, those models are able to look at a volume of information, right? That quantity of information that no human being is going to be able to digest, probably effectively ever, but certainly not without spending years and years doing it. Now, that means that AI models can create tools that accomplish problem solving far above what humans could. So again, if you think about the fact that AI can look at massive amounts of data, consume it, learn from it, right, create decisions from it, and there aren't humans that could look at that same massive amount of data, right, then it just goes to, it's logical to think that AI engines are going to be able to understand a level of complexity and look into that complexity, help make decisions, help make predictions, right, that most humans would not be able to do. So there you go. There's five reasons why, I think that when we look at AI, we have reasons to be optimistic about it creating freedom in our lives as opposed to enslaving us. Look, I mean, already, right, as we sit here today, we're already being amplified in many positive ways with technology, and of course now AI as it starts to blossom. It's still early days. You know, that's what I try to remind people all the time is, hey, the pace of AI getting smarter is pretty incredible. It's also early days for this. There's no reason not to believe that it's going to continue to get extremely powerful and if you want to just say it this way, more intelligent. And so as AI does, as we partner with it, then again, I think we will become more and more interested in co-working with the AI. It'll become more and more of something that is an absolutely important role in our lives. I'm a witness of this already. And every single year that goes forward from here, I think I will be grateful and I will relish every year what will be the new capabilities of the hybrid workforce, the new capabilities of the hybrid workspace, the integration of synthetic intelligence and human intelligence. You know, what will it look like when we have ambient synthetic intelligence all around us all the time that we are working in? I just think it'll be fascinating every one more year of my life to be able to watch what that is going to look like. I don't often do this, but I do want to end this podcast with a bit of a warning. In this case, this discussion of, you know, AI causing freedom or AI causing slavery, I mean, technology addiction is real. It's nothing to mess around about. You know, there are a number of people talking about digital well-being and digital wellness. We talk about it. But already we have a lot of people that I think it's obvious are addicted to their phones. Although I always say it's not the phone you're addicted to. It's not the mobile device. It's what it does for you. It's the applications on that device that you're addicted to. But it's not even those. It is the connection to other people. You know, it's the connection to the feelings that you get. It's the connection to the convenience, the ability to learn. Right? There's a lot that is going on there that makes our connection, in some cases, addiction to that device happen. The consequences to this are real. I mean, they're real. You know, we kid around about, you know, four people being in the car and three of them are on their devices the entire time and the driver would like to be. You know, we kid around with, you know, sitting on the couch for 5 hours while the TV's on with your, you know, head in the device the entire 5 hours. But it really isn't that funny. I mean, there are consequences to these things, whether they're physical, mental, emotional, psychological, there are consequences. AI may end up being the most addictive of all of these. I can see that. I could see where co-working and partnering with something that is like a human in its ability to communicate with you, is like a human in its ability to help you do a better job in life. And it more and more might be like a human that becomes a friend of yours, you know, where we polymorphize AI. So it could get extremely addictive. And so I just want you to remember, right, this warning, with great power comes great responsibility, as we know. Your responsibility is going to be to find the balance between the power that AI gives you and living a life without having to use technology and still feeling like that life is valuable. It's having the ability to set aside co-working with AI, to set aside working with technology, to be able to experience the people and the world around you. That's my ending warning. As AI grows like it is going to grow, I do see that it is going to cause more and more of a reason for you to want to hold a device, talk to a device, talk to a machine, get help from a machine, build a relationship with a machine. And I think the only thing that's going to save us from the consequences of that kind of over-addiction is going to be you. It's just going to be you finding balance in your life and understanding that nothing really does replace human connection. Nothing really does replace human love. And when I say nothing, I mean no thing. All right, have a good Humology day.
Thank you for listening and giving these ideas a chance. Let this be a two-way conversation and connect with me on Twitter at sklesoski or on LinkedIn. I also write a blog that you can find at scottklesoski.com. An added bonus is a library of thought-leading graphics you can download from the site. One more thing, please take a moment and rate this podcast on whatever platform you use. Ideas are powerful change agents, and positive reviews will help spread the digital optimism.